What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Some really weird debates today. Angel, this show has just been all over. That's what happens when you start your week and you think you have jury duty. There's a lot of thoughts flying there, and I get distracted easily. Zach Stevens is joining me now, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, have you ever had jury duty before?
Oh, I've had jury duty. I've actually been on a case, thankfully. The case was over before my first day was even complete. So it was a nice one in, one out.
Did you appreciate, like, as far as, did you take an interest in it? I mean, I know it's inconvenient. Everybody's got stuff to do. But was there a part of you that's like, this is actually kind of fascinating?
Oh, heck yeah. I personally really enjoyed it. Now, you know, it does get in the way of work, so I definitely see the inconveniences. But I personally love the love going through it. And when I see the jury duty thing, as long as it's not during a Broncos thing, I don't mind it at all.
Well, see, that's why I was sweating bullets on Monday, because I'm like, the Nuggets are probably going to – they're either going to win Monday night or they're still going to go on. Either way, we're going to be talking about chances at history for the Nuggets. And I'm like, I might be out of the show all week, because it was supposed to go 4 to 5 days. And I went through half the day, and ultimately I didn't make the cut. So I was relieved, at least. Okay, I can still get on and ramble on about the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I actually got the summons this past year during training camp. Mm. And I was just, you know, crossing my fingers, hoping I wasn't on the list that time, because you can't miss a training camp practice. Thankfully, I didn't.
I know. We lucked out, man, but I'm sure our time is coming for the full thing some point. All right, Zach. Well, we got the news yesterday. Brandon McManus, he tweeted it out, then the Broncos confirmed it. But finally, we're done with all of the players from that Super Bowl 50 season. Brandon McManus is gone. What went into that?
Yeah, a couple of things. And the Broncos, first and foremost, they were able to save over $3 million, almost $4 million in cap space this year. They put a post June 1 designation on release in McManus, so they opened up almost $4 million this year. They'll have $1.25 million in dead cap this year and next year. Typically, some teams would do that. Some teams would just take all of the dead cap, which would be $2.5 million this year. But that's not Sean Payton's way of working things. Sean Payton wants the money right now. And then what do? They just went and turned that savings into Cam Fleming later in the day. Sean Payton wheeling and dealing to maximize his dollars. But like you said, the end of an era with Brandon McManus. And I think it was a couple of things. One, you talked about how it was that Super Bowl, the last member of the Super Bowl 50 team, and it was great to have as many of those guys on the team for as long as possible, up to an extent. You know, the Broncos can't be hanging on to Super Bowl 50 at all anymore with how things have gone downhill. And because Brandon McManus was on that Super Bowl 50 team, he has been a leader. He's a union rep. He is as ingrained to anyone in that culture that they have. And Sean Payton wants to change that culture, Brady. So, and then on top of that, Brandon McManus had a really down year last year. He had the fifth worst kicking percentage in the entire NFL. And so I think Sean just thought, you know, we can save some money, time for a change, a culture change, and on the field change. Plenty of reasons to make this move happen.
So it was a mix, you know, saving some money. Maybe it's time to just wash all the memories away of what was happening a few years ago. Was there any personality differences there? Because we know that Brandon McManus, he kind of liked to have fun. He's a kicker. He'd mess around once in a while. And Sean Payton, I'm not saying he's all serious all the time, but he's also kind of like, man, when it's business time, it's business time. Was there anything there?
Yeah, I think that's part of the culture change that he wanted. And McManus, as a special teamer, you're kind of on your own in a way where you can do things how you want to do them, especially when you're a veteran getting paid a lot of money. And over the past couple of training camps, Brandon McManus has at times gone into the locker room after fulfilling his kicking obligations and came back out wearing an official's outfit and pretended like he was a referee during training camp practice, I don't really think that would fly with Sean Payton in town. You know, Vic Fangio let it happen. Nathaniel Hackett joked about it, but that wouldn't really fly with Sean Payton. So I do think that things like that played into the culture aspect.
Yeah, so what's next then? You mentioned the Camp Fleming thing. You mentioned already saving some money. So where will the Broncos go with this with their kicker situation?
Yeah, we're sitting here. What day is it? We're looking at May 24th right now. Not many great options are available right now. So you have to choose the best of what's left. And the Broncos today worked out three punters, Brett Maher, Parker White, and Elliott Fry. Elliott Fry and Parker White, I would be shocked if anyone knew anything about them because, honestly, Brady, these guys have done barely anything in the NFL. That's just a fact. But Brett Maher is maybe the most interesting kicker in the NFL. Not necessarily the best kicker, but the most interesting kicker in the NFL. And he has ties with Sean Payton. In 2021, Brett Maher was the Saints kicker for about half the season when Sean Payton was there. They were dealing with some injuries, so they brought Brett Maher in, and he was really good, almost 90% field goal percentage. Last year, he signs with the Cowboys. He hits 90% of his field goals, including something like 8 or 9 of 11 from 50-plus, so he's good short. He's good deep. One of the best kickers during the regular season last year, and then what happens? The playoffs come around, and Brady, he goes 1 for 6 on extra points in the playoffs. When it mattered the most, he missed 5 straight extra points, and he was a talking point around the country for those 2 weeks. What do the Cowboys do? Do they release him? He's a really good kicker. Do they pick up someone else? So he had the yips for 5 games. So on one hand, you can convince yourself, Brett Maher may be one of the best kickers in the NFL, and the Broncos are somehow able to get him in late May. What a deal for him because of how he's played over these past 2 years outside of those 5 extra points. Or you could say, oh geez, is this a guy that the Broncos are picking up that is still stuck in the yips? So the Broncos worked those guys out today, probably put them in some pressure situations to see how Brett Maher would handle that. And from my understanding, Brett Maher is taking a physical, kind of hanging around the facility. I expect him to be the Broncos' next kicker.
Wow.
And I truly think that's going to be a good move, but of course that does make you a little nervous just with those yips at the end of the season.
Yeah, so yeah, maybe you can just chalk it up to that. Just for whatever reason, the yips mentally, just a disaster in your mind that day. I mean, we all have our bad days. It just so happened to be one of those type of days, one of those type of situations.
Yeah, exactly. And I said he was 1 of 6 for extra points in the postseason. He was actually 1 of 5 in the Cowboys' first postseason game when they absolutely destroyed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the extra points, it didn't actually hurt the team that much. And then the following week, he missed his first extra point, which then the Cowboys decided, you know what, we're just not going to kick extra points anymore. and so that did, they did lose that game against the 49ers. But it really was just one awful, awful game. And to me, again, you're sitting here the end of May, you can have a guy that has been really exceptional the past 2 seasons outside of one awful game. I'm probably going with that as opposed to guys that really haven't kicked in the NFL before.
Yeah, now I tend to agree with you that maybe it was just the perfect storm of chaos and all of that. Then, you know, he can recover from that, so we'll see. Zach, what else of note are we missing here? Are the Broncos looking to make any other kind of moves here? As you know, we're getting to the more, we're getting deeper into the more meaningful offseason work, or we're getting closer, I should say.
Yeah, we are. Broncos began OTAs yesterday. We, as a media, get to watch our first OTAs under Sean Payton tomorrow. We get to watch everything, so we'll be breaking down, you know, how Russ looks, what exactly they're doing, because Sean Payton's done this offseason differently, like we've talked about, Brady. Instead of getting on the field as soon as they can, Sean Payton's been more focused on getting this team conditioned. So we'll see just where this team's at, how their install's coming along, and also probably get to talk to Russ for the first time since the Broncos hired Sean Payton. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a very newsworthy day tomorrow. But then in terms of just the roster building, where the team's at, they signed Cam Fleming to bring him back on the offensive line yesterday. And I got to say, I think that's a really good under-the-radar move by getting quality swing tackle depth behind Garrett Bowles and Mike McGlinchey. The Broncos really didn't have anyone. I mean, Quinn Bailey was their swing tackle before bringing in Cam Fleming, and Cam Fleming was good last year. So I think that's a good move. And in terms of moves that they could still make, you just look at that running back room. Now, Sean Payton, the last time we talked to him at rookie minicamp, he said that he believes Javonte Williams is going to be ready for the start of training camp. Brady, with how devastating Javonte Williams' injury was, tearing three ligaments in his knee, and typically the recovery time is anywhere from a year to 18 months on that, I'm just not going to believe it until I see him out there. And I do believe the Broncos are being just a little bit too optimistic, maybe a lot too optimistic about Javonte, honestly. But if he's back at the start of training camp, then the Broncos running back room is set. I just don't believe that's going to be the case. So you keep a look on who the Broncos could pick up. Could it be a Kareem Hunt in free agency? And then the one to keep your eye on is there was a report a couple of weeks ago that the Vikings had a trade in place with a team in the AFC for Dalvin Cook. And they didn't want to make the move until the post-June 1 designation so it could help them salary cap-wise. Keep your eye on that. George Payton was with the Vikings when they drafted Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook had a 1,000-yard season last year. I believe he's going on four straight 1,000-yard seasons. So that is one where if the Broncos really wanted to make a splash, that would be, you know, a week. We're only a week or two away from that.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I certainly will keep my eye out for that, Zach. And yeah, the running back thing, we just kept it. Here's what I look at I keep hearing different versions of how Javonte Williams is really doing, and that's what bothers me. Is one day it's, oh no, he'll be ready to go by training camp. The next day it's, we'll see. So that's what bothers me. Is they're not like a clear cut thing. That typically means somewhat worst case scenario.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. You know, at the combine, George Payton said something along the lines of, yeah, we expect him to be ready by week one. Then the next couple of times we talked to George Payton, he really backed off of that and you know, was saying, you know, we expect him to be back at some point this season. And then the most recent time we talked to Sean Payton, he, you know, made that training camp comment. And to me, I understand that running backs' careers are typically short, so you want to maximize them as well as you can. But I talked to Terrell Davis, and actually Terrell Davis also talked to the Broncos last week, and they put it out on social media, which I was shocked that they put this out. But when I talked to Terrell last year in November, he said, the one thing that I regret in my career is coming back too soon from the knee injury. You want to come back. No one wants to come back more than the running back, more than the guy that touches the ball so much in a game, but you have to let it get fully healthy. And that's just all I have in my mind when thinking about Javonte Williams, is he not only tore his ACL, but he tore two other ligaments in there. There is no reason to rush him back right now, because you don't want to ruin the rest of his career by rushing him back too soon right now. And so, Brady, I'm with you. I would be cautious with this. And until I see Javonte out there looking 100%, I'm going to have a really hard time believing that he's back for the start of camp.
Well, I'll be curious to get your thoughts after what you see during the OTA process too, Zach. So always appreciate you, my man. We'll be looking out for updates from you, and we will keep our eyes out for that possible Dalvin Cook situation. That would be fascinating.
Yeah, it certainly would be fascinating. It'd be a very Sean Payton type of move. I mean, look, the Broncos have kind of gone all in already this season with Sean Payton, and that would just be another move to push all the chips in this year.
I love it, man. Zach, appreciate you as always, and we'll try to catch up with you soon.
Right on. Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Brady.
All right, man. Angel, let's take a quick break. We got to get to what did we learn today on this 24th day of May. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.